That's all singing. So, thank you all for singing. I know it's a blessing to sing to the Lord. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of His people. So I'm glad that you were able to open your heart and sing and bless the Lord. Well, a pastor in Dublin, Ireland, was called to see a dying man who had been an unbeliever all his life. Gripping the minister's hand, the man said with terror in his voice, "I feel as though I am sinking into a black hole of darkness and despair." Friend, you do not want to stare death in the face in a state of unbelief. Well, the pastor spoke quietly to him of God's grace and forgiveness, but this brought no peace to the man's soul. Before leaving, the clergyman gave the dying man a Gospel of John and suggested that he read as much of it as he could. When he called back a short while later, the man was at a point of death, but his voice was calm and he was unafraid. What brought about this dramatic change in the dying man? Well, he said he had read the 14th chapter of John and remembered his own godly father's dying words to him. "My son, my heart and my flesh are failing, but I am resting peacefully in Christ and His words. Let not your heart be troubled." You see, in those moments, God's Spirit made real to him what Christ had done for him. And he claimed John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, for his own, receiving Jesus as his personal Savior before entering into eternity. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from his word to deliver to you at this special hour in your life and my life. Please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and transformation, is eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's eternal and enduring word in order to transform born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed image of Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One and the hope of the nations, and to turn unbelievers from their sin of unbelief lovingly and loyally, leading them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the seeker and savior of lost sinners. So here is my message in a nutshell. Please listen to it with an open heart and an open mind. Jesus turns fear into faith when a person wholeheartedly believes in Him and His promises as they are revealed in the Bible. Let me repeat that to you again. Jesus turns fear into faith when a person wholeheartedly believes in Him and His promises as they are revealed in the Bible. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, and the family and fellowship of God, the Bible is going to clearly and convincingly show us that Almighty God will take fear out of your heart when you truly and fully trust in Jesus Christ and His promises as made known in the Word of God. Remember the dying man. What brought about the remarkable change in his troubled heart just before he breathed his last? It was wholehearted trust in Jesus Christ and His promises. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Will you please listen carefully as I recite this passage from the updated New American Standard Bible? The Bible says, listen carefully, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This is the word of God to the people of God, and may the Lord add his blessings to the recital of his holy word. I tell you, friends, these few verses, that is John chapter 14, verse 1 and 3, are rich with promises regarding eternal life in Jesus Christ to all who are born again, to all who are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to all who are brought into a personal saving relationship with God by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, and to all who belong to Jesus Christ. These can look forward to eternal life because Jesus has promised it to those who believe in him. Now, would you please notice how the Lord Jesus begins his divine work? As you read John chapter 14, notice that Jesus is doing a divine work of turning fear into faith in the lives of his disciples in the upper room the night before he was crucified for your sins and my sins. He begins with a prohibition. A prohibition is simply telling someone you care about not to do something that is not good for them. In other words, you care about this person and you don't want him or her doing something that is detrimental to their spiritual health or even their physical health. Filled with love, care, concern, and compassion for his disciples after the betrayer, that is Judas, had left, Jesus tells them these simple words, but very, very significant words. He says what? In verse 1 of chapter 14 of John, he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled." Or as some translation says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Addressing the entire company of disciples as the plural pronoun, your, when he says your heart, he's not talking about one person. He's talking about all the disciples in the upper room after the betrayer had gone. So it indicates that the Lord Jesus tells them to set their hearts at ease, at peace. Actually, the form of the expression used by the Lord Jesus in the original implies that they should stop being troubled at heart. In other words, the expression is used to stop an action that is already in progress. Jesus is lovingly telling them and compassionately telling them to stop what they are doing now. And what were they doing now? Well, they were letting fear rule and reign in their hearts. And Jesus says, you have to stop this. Don't let your heart be ruled by fear and anxiety. Their fear and anxiety were to cease, and their troubled hearts set at peace and at rest. They are to put away from them their anxious, worried, and depressed thoughts, which have been filling their minds and their hearts after Jesus told them that he was going to leave them. In a few words, the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples and to us today, peace at heart. Peace at heart. Let's all say together, peace at heart. So I pray that your heart will be full of the peace of God. As our sister told you, that God wants the best for you and is not hating you. Now the question is, the question that arises at this juncture is, what was it that caused their hearts to be so troubled for Jesus to immediately seek to deal with it? If your heart is being troubled, what is the cause of it? Well, you see, the disciples' whole world seemed to be crumbling around them. But you ask, how so? Well, I'm so glad you've asked. A short time before, as they reclined at table, the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse 21, was himself troubled in spirit as he spoke of the presence of a traitor or a betrayer in their midst. So that was the first thing. That was enough to fill them with unease. But that was not all. There was also the distress which arose from Jesus' announcement to them that he was leaving them, going away to a place which they cannot come now. Now remember, for almost 3.5 years, Jesus was their go-to person. Now he tells them he's going away where they cannot come now. In their hearts, they were saying to themselves, Jesus, we have given up everything for you. But now you are telling us you are leaving us? We have nothing. You are leaving us as we have given everything to follow you. Well, as if that was not enough troubling of the heart, Jesus dropped another bombshell when he told them that Peter, a prominent figure among the disciples, was going to deny that he ever knew the Lord. In John chapter 13, verse 38. I tell you folks, that certainly brought an atmosphere of gloom to the upper room. Jesus! You mean Peter? Who is the strongest among us? Who's often our spokesman? Is going to deny you? How can we trust ourselves? If Peter is doing that, that will be a blow to us. We'll have no one to look up to. So you can see that everything seemed to be happening at once, and everything seemed to be at the verge of collapse. Well, sensing the anxiety in their hearts, Jesus, who knows our hearts very well, lovingly and compassionately tells them, do not go on being troubled at heart. Choose to cease from being troubled. Actually, the Bible mentions twice in John's Gospel that Jesus himself was troubled. Namely, remember at the tomb of Lazarus, in John chapter 11, verse 33, before he brought Lazarus from the dead, the Bible tells us he was troubled in spirit. And then in the upper room, John chapter 13, verse 21, when he spoke of the betrayal, the Bible also tells us he was troubled. But you say, what's the point? Well, here is the point. The point is that the Lord Jesus knew what it was like to have a troubled heart and start to correct this among his disciples. He knows how to fix a troubled heart. He's experienced it and can fix it. So my question to you today is your heart being troubled and cast down today? Is your heart weighed down with the struggles and sorrows of this life? Is your heart overwhelmed with the trials and troubles you are facing right now? Remember, Jesus knows what it means to have a troubled heart, and he's able to heal your troubled heart. He's able to make your heart at peace and at rest. Hear Jesus' words to you today. He says to you, you who are my true followers and believers, you who are my redeemed, chosen, cherished, consecrated ones, let your hearts be at peace. Why? For I am in control. I am in charge. And I will take care of you. Because what? I love you with what? Unconditional love. Unfailing love. Unchanging love. unending love. So your heart can be set at rest today. Whatever you are going through. Well, having compassionately told his disciples to stop being troubled at heart, the Lord Jesus now calmly urges them to maintain their trust in God and in himself. In other words, he's calling each one of them to personal belief in the one true God of the universe. Notice Jesus says in the second part of verse 1, believe in God, believe also in me. Or trust in God, trust also in me. This double command is a clear-cut statement that Jesus is indeed God. In fact, a few verses later, Jesus boldly and authoritatively made the claims that knowing him means what? Knowing the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 7. And then he also says, seeing him means seeing the Father. Now, who can say that except Jesus? Because as I'll read it once again to you, for you to see yourself, Jesus speaking to Philip. He says in verse 7, if you had known me, you have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know the Father? How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe the works. Believe because of the works themselves. So Jesus made this bold claim that if you know him, you have known the Father. If you have seen him, you have seen the Father. But you say, how can that be? Well, I tell you how. It's because Jesus is equal with the Father. In other words, as Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, and he's the exact representation of God's nature. And as such, he commands the disciples to persist in faith. He says, keep on trusting in God, and keep on trusting in me also. Keep on maintaining your faith in God, and keep on maintaining your faith in me also. Keep on believing in my continued love and care for you, even when I'm gone. You have never known me to let you down. For all these 3.5 years, you have never known me to let you down. And I will not do so now, whatever appearances might suggest. Therefore, stubbornly hold on to confident trust in God and in me. Choose to continue believing in God and in me. You see, their anxiety, uncertainty, and discouragement had weakened them in their faith. That's what discouragement will do to you. That's what depression will do to you. It will weaken your faith and it will weaken my faith. And so Jesus wanted to strengthen them in faith against complete collapse in the coming hour of the trials that are to come upon their lives. You see, continued trust in the Father and Son is the divine antidote to discouragement and despair. So let me ask you this simple but significant question. Do you have confident trust in God and in Jesus Christ today? If so, hold on. Would you say you are keeping on trusting in God and in Jesus Christ no matter what you are facing today? Good. In other words, if Jesus were to reveal the true condition of your heart today, will he commend you for pressing on and persisting in the faith? Will he say of you, as he said of Job, after he had many trials and troubles come upon him in one day, you still hold fast to your integrity? You see, that's the kind of trust and tenacity Jesus is talking about. He's not speaking about fair weather trust in him. When things are going well for you, you jump and shout, "Jesus, I'm trusting in you." But when the going gets tough, you no longer shout and jump, "Jesus, I'm trusting you in no matter what I face." That's the type of trust Jesus is speaking of here to us. The trust that says, "God, I have confidence in you. No matter what is going on around me, I'll keep trusting you by the power of your Holy Spirit, because I know you will come through for me no matter what I face." While having compassionately told his disciples to stop being troubled at heart, and having also calmly urged them to keep on trusting in God and in him, the Lord Jesus now confidently assures them of the divine provision for them, that is, his preparation of a place for believers. You see, that was the purpose of his departure. He was going to prepare a place for the disciples. Yes, the Lord Jesus was leaving his disciples, but listen, he hadn't forgotten about them. He now assures them that they will have a place in the eternal world. He is going to prepare a home for them. And may I say to you today, no matter what you are going through today, Jesus has not forgotten all about you. Most often, the devil will tell us that God has forgotten about you, he's done with you, and he's through with you, and therefore you live the way you choose. But the Bible is telling us here today that no matter what you are going through, Jesus had not forgotten about you. You may never live in the most expensive home or neighborhood here on earth. You may never have a room to yourself, as most of you know here. You may be living in a shack or in a shelter or on the street. Worse still, you may even be homeless the rest of your life. But please make no mistake about this. If you are truly born again and have wholeheartedly put your trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a special place prepared just for you. No other person will take that place. Sometimes when we come here, somebody will take your bed, right? But the place being prepared for you is just for you. No other person will take that place for you, from you. So please notice what the Bible says in verse 2. The Bible says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you." Let's all say, "For you."
For you.
Yes. Now here's something very important for you and I to understand. And that is, the Lord Jesus never ever speculated about a future life. He spoke as one who was as familiar with eternity as one is with his hometown. Every one of us has a hometown. And we are all familiar with our hometown, right? Well, Jesus' hometown is heaven. And he speaks of it so well, so clearly, so confidently, that he never speculates about that. Actually, the imagery of a dwelling place is taken from the Oriental house, in which sons and daughters have apartments under the same roof as their parents. I remember when I was growing up, my father built quite a big house, and then my brothers started adding to the house. So we all lived under the same compound. Well, now an important question arises. And here is the question. When Jesus says, "My Father's house," what is he referring to? Well, studying the Bible, in John chapter 2, verse 16, Jesus refers to the Jerusalem temple as "My Father's house." But here, "My Father's house" is plainly not on earth. It is the heavenly home, a home prepared without hands in the heavens, eternal in the heavens, in which Jesus himself will soon be returning, and in which his believing people are also promised a place. Notice the Bible says, in the Father's house, there are what? Many dwelling places, many mansions, many rooms or abiding places. These mansions or dwelling places refer to the place where Jesus will welcome believers permanently. You never have to move out and change your address. When you go there, you have your place for all eternity. No need to move out. No need to be evicted because you didn't pay your rent. God has taken care of it all for you and for me. In the Father's house, there will be plenty of room for all who are saved and set apart in this life and in the life to come. You see, an earthly house becomes overcrowded sometimes. An earthly inn must sometimes turn away the weary traveler because its accommodation is exhausted, as was the case with Joseph and Mary. But may I say to you, it is not so with our Father's house. There is room for all genuine believers to put up your feet and spread out, however you want to spread out. So Jesus is saying to his true followers and friends, don't be afraid. Men may shut their doors upon you, but in heaven, if you are a true believer in me, you will never be shut out. I tell you, friends, this verse not only tells us the heart of Jesus Christ, but it also tells us the honesty of Jesus. He says, if it were not so, I'll have told you. In other words, Jesus doesn't bribe people with lies, as other religious leaders do. He tells them the truth all the time. Well, before the disciples get all excited about the place Jesus is going to prepare for them, he tells them something even more special than the place. He tells them that he's going to give them a promise of being with the person of Christ himself. In other words, he gives them an assurance, a promise that they, the disciples who believe in him, will be with he himself. It's like Jesus is saying, don't focus too much on the place, but focus on the person who makes the place special. So the Lord goes on to assure his disciples that his departure will not be permanent. Someday he will return to take all true believers to be with he himself in heaven. And that is why the Bible says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. That where I am, you may be also. That is how it says it. Now, this is just amazing to me. You see, Jesus could have said, okay, I'm preparing this place for you. You go there and enjoy your eternity. But I'm not going to come there. But he says, I will bring you to be with me, myself. Not just the place, but me, myself, will be there. Expressing his personal concern for his own disciples, Jesus tells them that he will come back and receive them to himself. How wonderful, how precious, how beyond belief. Though the Lord Jesus did not elaborate on the promise, the guarantee is unmistakable. This is because, as the Bible says, his return is as certain as his departure. And then he will take them, all who believe in him, to be with him for all eternity. Simply put, for the believer in Jesus Christ, heaven is where Jesus is. We do not need to speculate on what heaven will be like. It is enough for us to know that believers will be forever with Jesus. This is the ultimate plan of God for every single believer in Jesus Christ. You see, when we love someone with all our heart, we are really alive when we are with that person. How many of you have someone you love here? Now, when are you excited about that love relationship? Is it not when you are with that person? Well, it is so with Christ. It is so with the person of Christ. Now, what difference does this message make in your life and my life today? How does it apply to you here today at the mission? Well, here is how. Please listen as I close. If you are a true born-again believer in Jesus Christ, I urge you today, tell Jesus today whatever is troubling your heart, and let him set your heart at peace, at rest, and at ease. Trust Jesus today and keep on trusting Jesus that he has not forgotten you in your plight and in your predicament in life. Whatever it may be, whether it be family problems, financial difficulties, failure to land a job, or failure to keep your promise to Jesus. You make many promises to Jesus, but you can't keep it. Facing jail time or failing health. Whatever it is, remember that Jesus has not forgotten you in your plight. And thank Jesus today for not only promising or preparing a place just for you, but also promising that you will permanently be with him for all eternity. Now, if you are not a believer in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I solemnly say to you today that you cannot look forward to the place Jesus is preparing, let alone to be with him for all eternity. But all that can change for you today, how? Simply repent of your sins today. Reach out to Jesus in simple and sincere faith on the basis of his work on the cross. His death on the cross for your sins. His burial to put away your sins. And his resurrection on the third day to bring you into a right standing with God. And today, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't wait. Don't wait till you are at a death door to put your trust in Jesus. It may happen so fast that you may not have that opportunity, like the man in the story of our message. So, the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have troubles on your heart, you want to lay down at the foot of the cross, I urge you, my brother, my sister in Christ, come. My sisters here will pray for you, and I will also make myself available to pray for you. But if you have not put your trust in Jesus Christ, today is that day. The Bible says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Come and ask Jesus to forgive you all your sins. He's not up there frowning on you. He wants the best for you. All you need is to say, Jesus, here am I. Receive me and forgive me. So let's respond to the word of the Lord.